Dumuzi the Shepherd. Dumuzi, you would see him in some texts, in Sumerian texts, for example. They called him Dumuzid, son who is life. In Akkadian texts, Dumuzi. Some texts, they call him Dumuzi the Shepherd, because that's really what he's known by. And in others in Babylon, they call him Tammuz, which other civilizations did the same. He had temples all over the place. One of them was called Dumuzid's house. Another one, a temple to Tammuz, which was destroyed at the time of an ancient king, Urukagina. Another temple, translated to Temple of Wonders. That's Dumuzid's residence, hotel in Akkad. He was the youngest of six main sons to Enki, and that could be just five, depending on where you place Nergal. I seem to think he fits under Enlil. Anyway, he is the son of Enki and Nensun. Now, if you'll remember, Nensun is a goddess born of Ninurta and Bull. Nensun married a giant mixed breed king named Lugalbanda, who was king of Uruk for 1200 years. Nensun and her husband Lugalbanda had children that were giant mixed breeds made kings. They were Gilgamesh, Ur-Nammu, and Gudda from three different city-states. At the time of their kingship, they were dominant city-state. So Nensun was a very important goddess, but she had children that were thoroughbred, you would say, Anunnaki, and she had children that were giant mixed breeds made kings. Lord of the Shepherds, he was trained as the biblical figure Abel to become the first shepherd. He espoused Inanna, and they had no children. Inanna and he concocted an idea, though, that he should have sex with his younger sister and produce an heir for Dumuzi and his position of authority, and the heir would be of the double seed, Dumuzi and Gashtinana, both offspring of Enki. That helps Inanna's position with her husband gain status, gain power. Dumuzi had nightmares, so what he does is he rapes his sister. And there's a text that goes on all about it, and we'll get to the text in a minute. After he rapes his sister, he had nightmares of being killed. And sure enough, older brother Marnik is mad as hell that he raped his little sister. So he chased him, and Dumuzi ends up dead, found in water, body decayed. Inanna waged war against Marnik, blaming him and trying to avenge her spouse Dumuzi's death. And from there on, you find cousin against cousin in the efforts to wipe out Marnik and Marnik's efforts to become supreme god on Earth Colony. Both have somewhat, they're both descendants of the king, one under Enki, Inanna, of course, under Enlil. So this is a mixed marriage, the Muzi under Inki, Inanna under Enlil. Okay, let's look at the slideshow. The Muzi, you know, by the way, if you hit refresh on your computer, the slideshows will restart. If you put your cursor on the picture, the slideshow stops and a brief description of the artifact comes up. In this first slideshow, I may be showing you just a piece of the artifact so you can zero in on the Muzi. So here we start with the Muzi, and notice his hands seem to be folded. Notice that he's wearing the crown, animal crown, of authority, being that he's a direct descendant of the king. Inki's son, King Anu's grandson. He has position, and he has authority. And his authority was given him by Enlil, and he would be in charge of the herds of cows and the flocks of sheep. He was to raise the food for the gods. So the Muzi went to work doing that, while everyone else took up their responsibilities and went to work doing them. Now, the second artifact, the one number one, you'll see the Muzi, and you'll see 8 pointed flowers, the rosette. These rosettes were all around him. That's a symbol or a standard of Inanna, his spouse. And we'll see the full artifact down the line. Here again, there's a statue of the Muzi, kind of crude, but Babylonian. Again, kind of crude, but you see the Muzi is the shepherd. There you have it. And there's just a head of the Muzi, a piece of an artifact. You'll see an old artifact of what I believe to be Marduk and his little brother. And again, the Muzi's hands are folded. Here, I love this one. This is a damage artifact where I had mentioned Ninsun's 3 sons that were made to be kings, giant mixed breed sons. Well, this artifact gives you the giant mixed breed son, artifact number 4. That is King Guda, Ninsun's son. He has his wrist held by Ningisida. You can tell by the snakes' heads on each shoulder. Next to Ningisida is his younger brother, the Muzi, who happens to be a half-brother to the King Guda. They're both sons of Ninsun. One's a mixed breed king, the other one is a god, son to Inki. Guda is son to mixed breed Lugalbander. So you can tell there is a giant mixed breed and how tall he is up against Ningisida and the Muzi, who they are bringing Guda before their father, Inki. Inki is damaged and is missing here. The next one, 4A, is a little closer view of the artifact. I like that artifact. It gives you a clear description of a giant alien and a giant Nephilim. This next artifact is pretty interesting, 4B. There are texts where the Muzi is where Adapa or Adam is sent to planet Nibiru to meet the king, so the king can take a look at the new creature fashioned by Yankee for the purpose to be the worker, the replacement worker race. Well, they send the model man, Adam, Adapa, and they blast off and take him up to Nibiru, to the throne of Anu. And it mentions that standing at the throne of Anu is Tamuzi and then Gazeta. And that's what you're looking at, artifacts of King Anu's throne, flanked by Tamuzi and then Gazeta. They went up there under Enki's instructions. Next, you've got basically Abel being led before by Tamuzi the shepherd before Enlil. Now, Enlil, it looks like Tamuzi the shepherd is being handed a plow. Well, that's too much. He can't plow the fields and tend the animals. So what happens is the first son of Adapa takes over the shepherd position of Tamuzi. So now Abel is doing the work. The next son of Adapa, Cain, takes over the plowing of the fields and the farming. So now Ninurta doesn't have to do the work. He trains Cain to do the work. And that's what you're looking at here, is Tamuzi the shepherd, Enlil, and the plow with the sheep. Next artifact. You're looking, number five, you see Tamuzi the shepherd is blasting off to planet Nibiru, far left. Then you see King Anu on Nibiru, sitting on the right. Or possibly, I believe that's King Anu, that's my opinion. And they eat sheep. They like it more so than cow. Sheep comes from their planet. So King Anu, and there's the sheep, which is basically a barbecue offering to the god. Okay, the next is the full artifact of Tamuzi and his stags. Again, he's the herder. Here's a better look at that artifact, a longer look, and you can see different things in this artifact and the detail. Now, really what you're looking at is a round cylinder on the left, a rock that was carved down into a round cylinder. Then they take that round cylinder and reverse carve this scene right onto the rock. What mistake? You ruined it. Now take a look there. No mistakes. And then they would roll this rock on wet clay. And now you have a scene that is printed for all to see. You have the negative on the stone, the positive image there on the clay. And you can make many copies of this particular event that you could send out to each city-state or to multiple people within your own city-state. So that's 5B. 5C, it's the same thing. You're looking at a different artifact, where it comes from, the wet clay by that item carved, reverse carved. there's a name for that, and it for some foolish reason, slips my mind right now. Here's the Moosey, the shepherd, with his feet and hands in shackles. Looks like he's been captured. When you read the text, you'll understand what the artifact, what the story is behind the artifact. Again, these are artifacts of real scenes that happened in our ancient past, that artifacts were made so that man in this scene would never be forgotten. So there you have more artifacts of the Moosey. And as the slideshow goes, you see again, the Moosey the Shepherd, the Moosey the Shepherd. And then when you come up on 6C, you're seeing the Moosey's life coming to an end. Quite probably by older brother Marduk for raping his sister. And here again, Marduk is dead. His sister Geshtanana, whom he raped, is weeping badly. And his wife, Inanna, grieves forever. Oh, and all of a sudden, Enlil's earthlings are attacking Marduk's earthlings, and vice versa. Here comes the Moosey's text and the overview, which I explained, and some quotes. There is a picture of these artifacts in a city-state that is just being discovered. Thousands of these texts per city-state. Thousands. And thousands of artifacts. A ton of history. Thousands of year history. All gathered together in these city-states. Reprinted on clay tablets, wet clay fired extremely hot so it turns to rock and lasts thousands of years. Right here, buried in the dirt, still in great shape. As well as statues and all kinds of artifacts. On the right, you see these texts written in cuneiform, the first written language on Earth. And you see them organized in library form. There are many of these texts that I don't find the translations to. I'd sure like to. Anyway, and there are tablets about Adapa that I cannot find the translations to. I know they exist. They're mentioned in Zachariah Sitchin's books. Anyway, and that's a good indicator of what's available. The Tablet of Adapa, that's version one. Big time read. Adapa and the Food of Life is a little longer version, version two, and it's a big time read. You've got to read this. It's very important. Adapa, again, seems to be the first model man on Earth, which the Bible calls Adam, or the Torah. Here you have the Moosey the Shepherd with temples, and there's information there, and the Moosey and his sisters, the Moosey and Enkidu. These are all texts, but they're not starred. If you're in a hurry, go for the stars. The Moosey, the Shepherd, and Inanna. Here are the artifacts, and there are quite a few, of the Moosey with his one true love, and Inanna with her absolute one true love. The Moosey and Inanna. Young lovers united forever. Oops, the Moosey dies. Yes, the gods do die. And because his body was water damaged, Enki cannot put him back together. Too much rot. And so therefore, we learned that the gods, although they seem to be immortal, they can be killed. And they do keep their distance from primitive earthlings. That's where you come up with the mixed breed kings and the mixed breed high priests, the go-betweens between the alien giants and the earthlings. And of course, the go-betweens are the new leaders, men of authority. The Bible calls them heroes of old, men of renown. So as you go through this slideshow, you'll see many artifacts of the two lovers embraced in many different poses, in many different ways, always either showing their affection in one shape or another. And as you can see, there's quite a few of them. I like the one, number five, where a giant mixed breed king is by the hand, by the wrist, held by Ningasita, led to Inanna and her spouse, the Muzi. Very interesting. Ningasita is bringing a mixed breed king to Inanna and the Muzi. Inanna is seated. The Muzi is not. Now, I find that very interesting. Over here, you have a black and white of Inanna and the Muzi with the sheep. It's always tending the flocks, feeding the cows, something. And they were as happy can be, doing just like, and here come the artifacts of the happy couple. And then all of a sudden, the Muzi is dead. And artifact number 8 will show Inanna at the gate to the underworld, longing for her husband and true love, the Muzi. There are texts about this. I star them where they're interesting more so than the others. Again, there's the real artifact of the scene, and there are other gods as well. There, again, another artifact of the scene. And another artifact. There must be something important here. Something happened that was very important. That's called the Muzi dying and Inanna trying to get him back. And kneeling, of course, is his sister Geshtinanna. But anyway, what you're talking about is sister and spouse trying to get dead the Muzi back out of the underworld. And as you go through this slideshow, you'll see all this. Then come the text of the lovers in love and homage paid to them by certain kings and what have you. But mostly it's just the gods. Just the gods. Then you get into Song of Inanna and the Muzi. Like I say, one stars give you some information. The Muzi's dream, we're talking about his fear of being killed. As you read these, you will understand. The Muzi and Geshtinanna, it's an event. They had to write it down and saved it for all time until broken or damaged artifacts by religious zealots. And the last round of that was ISIS going through the Middle East, through the museums, anywhere through the ancient cities, and destroying everything they can find. This ancient knowledge has been kept secret. It's all exposed and presented to you, organized and everything, coded by colors. It's all right here. I tried to do the work, so if you wish to study this, I hope you get there faster. The Descent of Inanna. Very interesting text. One's a 1-star, one's a 2-stars. Inanna Descent to the Netherworld. Now you're talking a 3-star, and these are all of the same events. But look at these 4 texts. The same events, but they're must reads, and they're different versions of this or that. And then you have the Return from the Underworld. Wow, Inanna went down there and she returned. No one gets to return from the Underworld. Who do you call? Inky. So there is Dumuzi's main page. But something I would suggest is Dumuzi's city-state is Bad Tibera. I suggest you also go to the city-states that are listed in the third column. Way down, scroll way down, you'll see the city-states, and look under Bad Tibera. Here, you'll find a very interesting text called the Sumerian King's Lists. This Sumerian King's List begins before the flood. Where else would you find information on kings prior to the flood? Very valuable artifact here, and you can see it's 4 large stones, clay tablets. Written in cuneiform, of course. There's an idea where Sumer is, so as you go down this Sumerian king's list, you'll see the first thing that comes up, after the kingship descended from heaven, the kingship was in Eridu. That's Inki City. In Eridu, kings were there. The first one was 28,800 years. He was king. The second guy, from the same area, was king for 36,000 years. These are giant mixed breeds made king before their life, the length of their life was cut short. As mentioned in the Bible, after the flood, man's life was cut to, 120? Although Noah may have been around for 400 and some odd, he eventually weeded down to around 120. So, 2 kings, they ruled for 64,800 years in Eridu. Then it goes, Eridu falls and kingships move to Bad Tibera, the second place of kingship. The first king, now kingship didn't exist except on planet Nibiru. But because man was multiplying, and they wanted to go between, and they were having sex with the daughters of man, they come up with these mixed breeds and made them into go-between, give them positions of authority. They're bigger, they're taller, they're stronger, they're smarter. They live much longer than the earthlings, as you can see right here. In Bad Tibera, the first king, he ruled for 43,200 years. Now you can sit there and say, they don't know how to tell time. Surely that's not an actual year. I'm trying to show you what the truth is. Why would they lie on a text this old? Are you kidding me? And why would they give you history that has no value? That's not what they did. The next king ruled for 28,800 years. Good God. This is, you're talking about, what, the fourth king, fifth king on earth ever? Then Dumuzi the shepherd steps in. The god, Dumuzi. They call him the shepherd because that's his area of responsibility. He ruled in Bad Tibera, his city-state, for 36,000 years. Three kings ruled in this time for 108,000 years in Bad Tibera. Three kings. Next, it goes on down, and I suggest you read this one because it tells you everything you need to know about the Nephilim and the changes that came after the flood. So, Bad Tibera, like each god, they had their own city-states. It would be a good idea to check out the city-state after you check out the god. That's what I'm telling you here, because it's further information on that god. And wow, if you read the Sumerian King's list, that's an eye-opener. That is the purpose of my website here, to show you our true ancient history, to show you where our image and likeness comes from, to show you how the Nephilim act as go-betweens us and the gods. That way the gods are somewhat safe from the crazy primitives, and the go-betweens are responsible for what they do. And they're all blood relatives. So this becomes an interesting situation. If you wish to see the biblical idea of what I just showed you, go to Genesis 6. Right there, it tells you what I just showed you. Very interesting, isn't it? Thank you for coming to my website. I hope you're enjoying the information. This is truly a one-of-a-kind website, worth lots of time. Whatever time you give it, I thank you for coming.